the Holy Spirit might speak to us today, that we might honor and glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this service would be to His praise and His glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. As we pointed out last Sunday morning, Paul has written four different kinds of epistles, and this little book of Ephesians has to do with Christology, or revelation to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Ephesians here, along with Philippians and Colossians and Philemon, were written for different purposes, and we, as we are traveling through the Bible, we'll see how each of these glorify and tell us about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians basically is talking about the church as being the body of Christ, and how He is the head and that we are the body. And He is writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is in the first verse. And I want you to underline or put a little circle around the word "in" as we go through here and see how often it talks about us being in Christ. And we'll amplify this just a little bit later on. Notice it says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants us to be, is to be found faithful. As we have pointed out time and time again, God is not interested in dynamic people. He's not interested in wonderful people or beautiful people or ugly people. He's interested in faithful people. This is the greatest virtue a person can have, is to be found faithful. And when we have a group who are faithful to the Lord, then that's all that we can ask for, and that's all that God asks for. And notice he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace always precedes peace. You've got to understand the grace of God and have God's grace before you can have His peace. Now, a lot of people want peace in their life, but they cannot have it because they reject the grace of God, God giving us what we have not earned and what we do not deserve. They want to go it on their own. They want to help God along. Like the guy in the jet airplane, you know, he was sitting there and he wanted, the thing wasn't going fast enough. He wasn't getting where he wanted to fast enough, so he got out and started pushing, you know. Well, this is sort of like us helping God along. You know, He really does need our help, since He's not all powerful, and He needs, Nap Clark on His team and all this kind of thing, and He needs you too. No, He can raise up stones if He wants to. He does use us, and He uses us when we realize how much grace of God we do need, and how little He has to have us. The more He will use us. So grace comes before peace, and notice it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ. Now the way we have spiritual blessing is because we're in Christ. In fact, everything that we have that's worthwhile is because we have it because we are in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul keeps emphasizing here. It's in Christ. Now, we have these special blessings, and because we are in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get in Christ? According as He hath chosen us in Him. We are chosen in Him. As it says in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the first verse, Jesus Christ is the elect of God. In other words, somewhere back yonder in eternity past, God elected one person, and that was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are found in Him, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placed in the Christ, and then we become the elect of God. Now, my election is because I'm in Christ. Now, you see, I can not believe on Christ, or I can believe. Now, we know that people can reject the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in 1 Peter, he says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if somebody doesn't come to repentance, then some people can perish. Now, he's not willing, the Bible says very plainly, that he is not willing that anybody perish, that anybody... And if you're sitting here this morning, God doesn't want you to go to hell. It's not his will that you go to hell. Now, you may go there, but you won't go there in his will. You'll go there out of his will. Now, why do you go? Because of what it says in John the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I just quoted you a verse of Scripture. I did not put any of my opinions or my ideas in it whatsoever. I just quoted you what the Bible says. Listen very carefully to it once again. He that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, why are you condemned already? Because you believe not. And that's exactly what the verse says. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God has to reject you. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God accepts you in Christ. And you become the elect of God, and therefore you will share His destiny, the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is His destiny? Heaven or hell? He is the beloved of the Father. And He's going to be in the presence of the Father forever. So we are chosen in Him. And notice, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Before God created the heavens and the earth, God the Father and God the Son got together and they had a conference, so to speak. And the Father decided what to do. And He chose us in Him. When we are in Him, then we are the chosen. And notice, choosing is always the saved. Just like the saved are the only ones who are predestinated, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is predestination. Now, that's a long word, and some of you get a little shook up every time you see the word and you think about it, because you have heard all of your life that God has predestined that some people go to hell and some people go to heaven. You will not find this in the Word of God. It is not there anywhere whatsoever. In fact, we're going to look at every place in the Bible where it talks about predestination this morning. And would you believe that there are only four places in the Bible where the word predestination is mentioned? Only four times in all of the Word of God is this word ever mentioned. And it's only mentioned in two passages of Scripture. In Romans the 8th chapter and Ephesians the 1st chapter. Romans the 8th. And Ephesians the 1st. Now, we're going to look at all four of these verses of Scripture this morning. All right, look here at the 4th verse once again. According as He hath chosen us, we Christians, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, this is what He has chosen us for, that we should be holy, that we should be without blame. In other words, there is no sin charged against us. There's nothing charged against us. We are without blame. And this is the same thing as justified. You see, before Him in love, having predestinated us. In other words, God predestinated us unto what? Heaven or hell. Is that what it says? Now, my Bible doesn't read exactly like that. My Bible reads, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. In other words, God predestinated, God predetermined, and that's what the word predestinated means. He predetermined something. He predetermines that everybody who is in Jesus Christ will be adopted as a son. Now, the word adoption means son placing. It doesn't mean to have a person who is not of your family, and then you take them into your family and you take legal custody of them by going through a court of law. Now, several years ago, in fact, about 6.5 years ago, there was a little girl down in New Orleans, Louisiana, and my wife and I decided that we wanted her, so we went down there and we got her. And she was born of other parents, and her name now is Susan, Susan LaVonna Clark. And she's back here in the back, and she's a pretty little blonde-headed girl. And we love her very dearly, and we placed her into our family. We called her, we adopted her. But that's not what the Bible talks about as being adopted. The Bible says that adoption means to place into the family as a full-grown son. Here's a person who is born into a family. And when they get at a certain age, determined by the father, then they place them as a full-grown person. In other words, he is no longer a child, but when he is adopted, he is considered an adult. And that's what the word adoption means. Now, we receive adoption when we are saved. Now, we don't experience it yet, and we do not experience it until the resurrection of our body or to the rapture of the church. This happens when we are resurrected. Now, over in Romans, if you will turn with me to the 8th chapter. Look at the 29th verse. Well, let's look at the 23rd verse first, and then we'll look at the 29th verse. And not only they, it's on page 1221, and not only they, but ourselves also, who hath the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now, we are groaning, and we have a desire inside when we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we are waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of our body. Now, the groaning inside of us, or the desire inside of us, is that our bodies might be redeemed. Now, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to glorify the Lord Jesus. You love Him, and there's a desire inside of you to glorify Him. Now, maybe you have no real desire. Well, if I had no desire whatsoever to do anything for Jesus, I would doubt seriously my salvation. Now, this doesn't mean that you aren't saved, but I sure would doubt it. If I just didn't care a thing about Him, and, you know, He just didn't mean a thing to me, and I was just saved, I trusted Him as my Savior, you know, and I'm just rocking along, and things are just going along, you know, and life really doesn't have a whole lot of meaning and doesn't have a whole lot of purpose, and things just are there, you know, I'm just sort of a blob. And there's no real desire to know more about Christ and to understand Him more and to love Him more and to really want to serve Him and to realize that He has died on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world, and all these people are going to hell, and they don't have to go to hell, but we need to get out here and tell. You know, I begin to wonder, am I really saved? Now, I may not be doing much about it, but there's at least a desire there to do it. I may be weak in the flesh, and I may be all wrapped up in these things, but I'd sure doubt it just a little bit if there was no desire whatsoever. You know, someone who has done as much as Jesus Christ has done for you, as much as He has done for me, having left the glories of heaven and come down to become a man and live in this old filthy world, which He didn't have to do, and then to take in His own body all of my sin. I mean, someone who had never been tainted with sin in all of eternity past, and yet He took in His own body my sin because He loved me and He didn't want me to go to hell forever. And I didn't have some love and some desire to know Him better and to serve Him just to do a little something for Him. I'd wonder about myself. And here, if you don't have a desire for this old body to be redeemed, you see, we still have an old sin nature. We still have a bent to do wrong. And Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans, he says, I want to do right, but when I just find myself doing wrong all the time. Now, you may find yourself like that too. In fact, you will find yourself like that. You want to do the right thing, but you find yourself doing the wrong thing all the time. But there is still that desire to do the right. You may not ever do it.
But there's a desire down inside to do, to glorify Christ. And you have never found out how to glorify Him. And you never have realized the principles in the Word of God that give you the power to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will also be a desire to have our body redeemed. Because, you see, one of these days, this old sin nature, this bent to do the wrong, this thing that makes us lie and cheat and steal and makes other people miserable, makes us miserable, is called an old sin nature or the flesh. And we all have it. But one of these days, when the redemption of the body comes along, it'll all be over and we won't have to worry about the flesh anymore. And Paul says here in Romans that we are groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. And one of these days, our bodies will be redeemed. Now, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we are saved by Christ's blood. And we'll see that in Ephesians, the first chapter, the 7th verse, along with some other passages of Scripture. But we're talking about adoption right now. Now, look at also the 29th verse of this 8th chapter while we're here. For we, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to heaven or to hell. Is that what your Bible says? For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God has predetermined that you're going to be formed or conformed to Jesus Christ. In other words, God has predetermined that every Christian is going to be like Jesus. Now, I know my wife will be glad when that happens, and also my little girl, and some of you will be glad when that happens, as far as I'm concerned. Because sometimes I don't act too much like Jesus Christ, and sometimes you don't act too much like Him, and I'll be glad when you're conformed to His image, too. In fact, all Christians will be glad when all the rest of us are conformed to the image of His Son, that we'll all be just like Jesus. Wouldn't that be great if everybody here was just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ now? Now, you're talking about a tremendous spirit. And you're talking about a wonderful church and a wonderful place to be. That would be something if we were all conformed like Jesus Christ right now. And we'll all be doing the right thing and none of us would be doing the wrong thing. We'd turn this town upside down in just a matter of days. I mentioned last night, you know how we can win Starkville in 2 weeks? There's no doubt about it. Starkville can be won in 2 weeks. All I'd have to do, or all Red would have to do, he's the money man here. All he had to do is just offer everybody $1,000 for every soul they won to Christ. If I offered you, Red offered you $1,000 for everybody you won, would you go out this afternoon and go to work? Yeah. That do make a difference, don't it? Even if you didn't know how, some of you start learning. You start getting with it. Would you do it for $1,000? Well, the folks are still going to hell without Christ. And it's going to be worth a whole lot more than $1,000 one of these days. Now, we get sort of lazy on the job. We get sort of interested in making money and all this kind of thing. But now, that ought to be really a slap in some of our faces. God's offering a whole lot more than that. And just think, that poor devil that doesn't know how to go to hell, heaven, is going to hell. You don't have to go there just because you were interested and concerned about his lost soul and you went out and won it. Well, predestination has to do with being conformed to the image of his Son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, now I want to show you the second one in Romans 8. It's in the 30th verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. All right, those that are predestinated, he did what? He called. Whom he called,
He justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now, I don't see anything in there where it says that there are some people who are going to hell and some people who are going to heaven. Now, turn back with me to Ephesians, the first chapter, and I want you to look at the fourth one. The fourth one. It's found in the 11th verse of Ephesians 1. It's on page 1273. We read it this morning in this long sentence that we have, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will, that we should be predestinated to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. See, who did what? First trust in Christ. Then we are predestinated what? To be to the praise of his glory. This is what God has predestinated us to do, is to be to the praise of his glory. Now, these are the four places in the Word of God that talk about predestination. And that are those are the only four places where this word is mentioned. And yet we have folks who say that God predestinates some to hell and some to heaven. Won't. I just can't see it in the Word of God. And if you can show me some other places where these are mentioned and where it's talking about being predestinated to hell or to heaven, and something besides what we have in Jesus Christ and something that does happens to us before we are saved, I'll be glad to change my sermon. But until then, that's what it is. And so let's realize that God is not willing that anybody perish, that everybody be saved, and let's get busy and go out and tell people how they can have forever life by merely trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the payment for his sin. All right, back now to Ephesians, the first chapter, the fifth verse. Having predestinated us unto the adoption, the placing of a son, and he is predestinated that we're going to be adopted one of these days, and that is the redemption of our body by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It is the good pleasure of God's will that we all be like Jesus. Now, this is talking about God the Father. See, God the Father is pleased that we all be like his Son, the Lord Jesus. See, he's the favorite Son. And rightly so. Because, you see, he does the will of the Father always. To the praise, the sixth verse, to the praise of his grace. We are to the praise of his grace through which he hath made us accepted. We are accepted by God. How? What's that next little word? In what? In the beloved. Now, who is the beloved? None other but our wonderful Savior and our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're accepted in the beloved. Now, what does that mean? All right. I can go down here to Macon, Mississippi, to 305 Wayne, North Wayne Street, and I can walk into that house any time of the day or the night, and it just doesn't matter. And there's a woman down there who's always glad to see me because I am her son. Now, she's also glad to see someone else. It's called my wife. Now, she is accepted because I'm accepted. You see, not everybody is accepted in that house any time of the day or the night. Now, there are people who she's glad to see come, but they're not accepted. But my wife is accepted down there because of who I am. And she can go in 24 hours a day. It doesn't make any difference what the house looks like, whether it's clean or dirty. It doesn't make any difference whether she's tired or resting. We're always accepted down there because I am her son, and she is my wife, so she's accepted in me. And that's the same way it is with us. God the Father accepts God the Son, and when we are in him, he is the head and we are the body, and so therefore we are the accepted too. We are accepted in the beloved. In whom? In the beloved, who? We have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are accepted Now you see, this word redeemed here means to be bought out of a slave market of sin and set free. We're all born into this world as slaves of sin. We're all born in that condition. But because of Christ being born a free man, and he was a free man, this is what the virgin birth is all about. You see, if Jesus Christ had not been born of a virgin, he wouldn't have been a free man. If he had been born of some other man, then he would have been just like you or myself. We would have had an old sin nature or a bent to do wrong. But Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did not pass down to that woman an old sin nature in that son. You see, the old sin nature, the bent to do wrong, always comes down through the man and not through the woman. That's the reason why all men and all women have old sin natures, is because they have all had daddies and they got it from their dads. But Jesus Christ was virgin born. It was the seed of the woman who did not pass down the old sin nature to her son. And so he was a free man. He was without sin. He never sinned personally while he was on the earth. He didn't have sin on the inside, the old sin nature. He didn't have Adam's sin. You see, he is the second Adam. And therefore, being a free man, he can purchase us out of the slave market and set free. Just like the illustration we gave when we were in the book of Romans. There was a woman down in New Orleans during the slave time, a mulatto slave girl, and she was on the auction block and being auctioned off, and there were three men down there who were bidding for her. And they had a foul business. They were in the prostitution business, and they began to bid, and the price went up as several were bidding against it. And there was a Christian businessman who came by who just happened to be in town, and he saw what was going on, and he realized that this girl was a very unusual girl, a very bright and sharp girl, and a very beautiful girl too. So he began to bid also, and the price went up and up and up and up. And of course, as the price got higher, the crowd began to grow, and there was just, you could hardly stir them with a stick around. And finally, it got so high that these three men decided that it would take them too long to get their investment back, and so they dropped out, and the businessman, this Christian, bought her. Paid a tremendous price for him. He went over to the auctioneer and he paid him off and got the bill of sale, and he walked over to the lady, the young girl, and she had never had anybody treat her nice in all of her life. Everybody always used and abused her because she was a slave. And he walked over to her, and as he got there face to face, she looked at him and she thought, well, you just bought me for the same thing all the rest of these people have. And she just walked up to him and spit in his face. And he took his handkerchief out, wiped it off, and then he said something to her. He said, here is your bill of sale. You're free to go and do what you will. He handed it to her, turned around, and walked off. She was stunned. She didn't know what to do. She had never been treated nice in all her life. And she began to run. She finally caught up with the man. She grabbed him around the leg. And she begged him, says, please take me home with you. I want to be your slave. And he looked down at her and says, no. No, you can't go home and be my slave. And of course her heart just broke. Then he says, but you can go home and be my daughter. And that Christian businessman took that woman home, and this is a true story, as his daughter. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. We're born in the slave market of sin. We're slaves of sin. And Satan and the world has never done anything nice for us. It's put us in a place of suffering and pain and sadness and sorrow. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come along and He has redeemed us out of the slave market of sin, and He wants to set us free. And we can go home and we can be His sons, be His daughters. Because He has redeemed us, Christ has redeemed us with His own precious blood and have given us the forgiveness of our sins. We have not only redemption, but the forgiveness of sin. Notice, the forgiveness of sin is through redemption. Through redemption. In fact, justification is on the basis of redemption. Look at Romans, the 3rd chapter, the 24th verse, for just a moment. Romans 3:24. We are justified by redemption. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We have justification. And justification means to be declared right even though you are wrong. Even though you are sinful, even though you are bad, even though you are wicked, and you are, and I am. We're all this way. But we can have the forgiveness of sins. We can be justified, declared righteous, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Because He was a free man, and He bought us out of the slave market of sin and set us free. The purchase price of redemption is the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, he says, knowing that we are not justified, redeemed from with corruptible things as silver and gold. We know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain manner of life, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redemption is also gives us a basis for our inheritance. If you want to jot this down, Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 15th verse. It is the basis of our adoption. Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. The basis of our inheritance. We have an inheritance from God. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 15th verse. It also is the basis of our adoption, Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 6th verses. So we have redemption through His blood. I wonder tonight, or this morning, tonight, I wonder this morning, have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you accepted the purchase price? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been found in Christ? As it says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. We have a righteousness from God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is a free gift to you. It's not free. Salvation is not free at all. It has to be purchased. It has to be paid for. But thank God, it was purchased and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He hath redeemed us through His blood, and therefore we can have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, if you'll notice, we swapped here in the 7th verse from what God does. God the Father, beginning in the 3rd verse through the 6th verse, we mentioned to you, we would show you the work of the Father. The work of the Father is, first, blessing us, and second, predestinating us, and third, He hath chosen us. Now, this is the way the sentence actually should read. He blesses us, He predestinates us, and then He chooses us. Now, blessing is found in verse 3. Predestination is found in verse 4. And choosing is 5. Choosing is in verse 4. And that's actually the way it should be read in this order. In the Greek it says that. We're blessed, we're predestinated, and then we're chosen. That's the work of the Father. Now the work of the Son is redemption. This is the first part, and our time is gone. And we'll see some more of the work of the Son. Not only did He redeem us, but He hath done some other things for us. And next Sunday morning, we'll look at some of these things. I wonder today, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? The Bible says He hath redeemed us from all iniquity. He hath paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He not only paid for our sins, but in 1 John, the second chapter, the second verse, He says He is the satisfactory payment for our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. That includes you. That includes everybody in Stark. Well, that includes everybody in Octavia Hall County, the state of Mississippi, in the United States, and in the world. You see? He hath made the satisfactory payment for the sins of everybody. And that includes you. But have you received it? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? If you haven't, will you do it right now? Right where you're sitting. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Have you trusted Him? This is a personal thing between you and God. What does it mean to trust? Trust means to rely completely upon. If you trust me, you believe I'll do what I'll say. That's all trust means. People have all kind of definitions of trust or belief. Believe is exactly the same thing in the Bible as you find it anywhere else in the world. Just like you trusted or believed that pew would hold you up this morning. You sat down on it. You trusted it. You relied upon it to keep you off the floor for 1 hour. And it's done a good job so far. More than likely it will continue, so don't worry. Well, can Jesus Christ save you? Is His blood sufficient to pay for all of your sins? If you rely upon Him, He will. You can have redemption through His blood. Trust Him right now, if you never have. Father, we do thank You that eternal life is free. That Jesus Christ purchased it with His own precious blood. And not only did He save us from the penalty of sin, but He also saved us from the power of sin in our life. When we have our purchased possession, when we have the redemption of our body or our resurrected glorified body, we'll be actually saved from the very presence of sin. And Lord, we're looking forward to that day when we will not even be in the presence of sin at all, but it'll all be over. We thank You for this. We thank You for the tremendous salvation that You have given us. We thank You that You take us home with You as Your children, as Your sons, and not as Your slaves, when You purchased us with Your own precious blood. For those who are here this morning who have never trusted Him, we pray the Holy Spirit would convince them of the judgment to come because they have rejected the payment that Jesus made. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing one stanza, 347. 347, wherever He leads, I'll go. And the invitation is this, as always. You notice when we were presenting the gospel and how to have eternal life, we never mentioned joining the church, being baptized, doing good works, or any of these things. Because they are not for salvation. Good works are for saved people. Once you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God hath created us unto Jesus Christ for good works, to produce good works, not to be saved, not to stay saved, but because we are already saved. And because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to serve Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ and you haven't been serving Him, but you would like a place of service. We invite you to come. If you believe this, you have trusted Christ, you've been born again. And this is where God the Holy Spirit wants you to serve Him. Will you come? As we said, church membership, service. You can come here and you can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You can learn about God's Word, and we'll give you a place where you can serve Him if you want to. Will you come? As we stand, as we sing, only one stands.